Yes, hello. I'd like to review on how to structure a pre-seed pitch deck, and I'd like to go over it with you. It's actually how to structure the pre-seed pitch deck beyond minimum viable PowerPoint. If you're going to raise pre-seed round, you need a good deck. The purpose of the pitch deck is to get you meetings with potential investors. Here's research on what to include in your pitch deck, how VCs read it, and what it takes to raise. If you're going to raise a pre-seed round, you need a good deck. There's no getting around the fact, unless you're a multi-time founder. The purpose of the pitch deck is to get the meetings with potential investors. Broadly in your deck, you should share enough information with VCs to grow them, to show them that they don't already have any competing investments, and convince them that your idea is interesting enough to warrant further conversations. Now, I noticed when I watched on Shark Tank, for example, on ABC, they always ask the question, is there anyone else out there doing that? So you want to make sure that with your startup, there aren't a whole bunch of other startups that are doing what you're doing. But the question a lot of people have is, what do I put in this thing? What's in the decks of other successful founders? Although some founders will share individual decks, what I'd like to do is dig into a larger number of decks to find trends in successful and unsuccessful fundraising. This allows us to say with more certainty what in aggregate goes into a successful deck. Failed decks from founders who weren't able to raise also have things to tell us, since when viewed in aggregate, they can show us where pitches break down. Time spent on your pitch deck. The first thing to keep in mind is the amount of time investors spend on your deck. In 2020, the average viewing time for successful decks in their data set was a little over 4 minutes. Considering how busy VCs are and how many decks are sent, this is a lot of time. VCs are downloading a lot of information or making a lot of assumptions in those 4 minutes. That's why the pitch deck system exists. VCs can go through thousands of decks, spending 4 minutes on each, if you're lucky. And they simply don't have time to devote 30 minutes or an hour meeting every company that crosses their path. VCs are putting together their own story about your company in those 4 minutes. That story needs to match up as closely as possible with the one you're trying to tell. Now, that's where I'd like to interject something in here. With the Idea Connect Network, all I do is put together a simple Google document, 2-3 sentences, a little short Vimeo or YouTube, and then an optional non-disclosure agreement, and I get your idea in front of over 5,000 investors around the globe. That's why I think the Idea Connect Network is one of the best ways for you to raise capital. Now, just going ahead and moving on, the average time spent on a deck has shifted. In the last year, in 2019, successful and unsuccessful decks, determined by whether or not they raise their target amount, averaged about the same amount of view time. Last year, though, there was a big difference. Successful decks averaged 4 minutes 10 seconds of viewing time, whereas failed decks averaged just 1 minute 36 seconds. And we even saw many decks receive 20 to 30 second views, meaning an investor most likely bounced out of the deck after the first slide or two. This past year, without conferences and travel, investors had more time on their hands than usual. Therefore, they are looking at more decks than ever, but before cutting out the noise sooner. That said, they do not have money to spend, and SaaS companies have never been doing as well as they are today. With every software IPO, that money gets recycled back into the startup fundraising ecosystem. In 2020, successful pre-seed decks averaged 4 minutes 10 seconds of viewing time, whereas failed decks average just 1 minute 36 seconds. and we even saw many decks receive 20 and 30 second views, meaning an investor most likely bounced from a deck after one or two slides. The phone may ring once or twice, but just hang on. I'll continue. Make your first impression count. Investors are very active, but also increasingly impatient. They're saying no faster than being more efficient with their time. The key takeaway for founders is that if, say, slide 8 is your best slide, you need to keep in mind that investors might not even get that far in your deck. If there's a bumpy beginning to your deck, investors will bounce. This means that your narrative has to be very buttoned up and your deck needs to flow. Founders often complain that they don't receive feedback on their decks, but VCs simply don't have the time to provide personalized critiques. With DocSend's analytics, which is one of them, you can see if investors are dropping off at a certain point in your deck. Armed with this knowledge, you can have feedback sessions with other founders or existing investors. Keep in mind that you can have a great company that deserves to be funded, but still miss out because your deck couldn't hold viewers' attention. Investor viewing behavior means that having a good pitch deck is all about making your first impression count. When we look at data for the first visit versus subsequent visits, successful decks will have a little less time spent on subsequent visits. In these cases, investors may read through the deck once and then go back for confirmatory information later. Unsuccessful decks may still have subsequent visits, but longer viewing times here mean that investors are often confused about something. Investor viewing behavior means that having a good pitch deck is all about making your first impression count. Successful decks have more viewing time than unsuccessful decks. The formalization of pre-seed. If you go back 7 or 8 years, pre-seed was just really a friends and family round. Most companies didn't have a lead investor, and the criteria of what made a good pitch deck, a good pitch or deck at that, was all over the map. Now there are more professional investors leading pre-seed rounds, and they're bringing a level of professionalism to the process that wasn't there before. By and large, this is a good thing because it means there's more money available at earlier stages. I also think it's preferable to raise money from a proper firm because they can give you a term sheet and credibility, which can expedite the process of filling your round. Angels are happy to join when they see a term sheet in place. They know another professional investor has done due diligence with you, and that makes a big difference. Term sheets make a round faster and easier to fill. But the flip side is that the sooner you raise from proper firms, the sooner you'll have to professionalize your reporting to investors, prove traction, and show real growth. You need to consider whether this route is right for you, but it's true that having someone lead your round does make it very easy to get commitment from the other investor. In 2021, there are more professional VCs leading pre-seed rounds, and they're bringing a level of professionalism to the process that wasn't there before. By and large, this is a good thing because it means there's more money available. Three big shifts in VC interest. As the pre-seed round is becoming more standardized, investor metrics and criteria, what they expect to see in pre-seed companies, are becoming more standardized as well. There are a few big shifts in our findings in 2020, and we expect to carry it into 2021. Competitive landscape. The first of these shifts is the importance of articulating your competitive landscape. We saw a 51% increase in time spent on the competition section of decks last year. We're at a time when there's a record number of companies getting started and getting funded. This is a good thing overall. But it also means that investors want you to have an understanding of your market. You have to understand the market you're working in and can talk why your company has a chance of winning. Don't shy away from discussing your competition. VCs will ask you about this, and you need to have a thoughtful answer. Once again, I saw that on Shark Tank. That's one of the questions that often came up. Product readiness. The second shift is in the product readiness section of pitch decks. There was a 46% increase in investor time spent on this section last year. Pre-seed is more and more about showing versus talking about the product. It used to be the case that you could do a friends and family or pre-seed round with a minimum viable PowerPoint, but this isn't really true anymore. You don't have to be GA, but investors do want you to know you can act on your ideas and build the product you have in mind. It's no longer the case that you can be, say, a business person who is looking for a technical co-founder and who only has a PowerPoint about a product idea. Investors do scrutinize product slides, and you do need to have something to show. You can do a lot with your product slides. For example, you can add an animated GIF to your PowerPoint. This will actually play and bring your product to life. People also hyperlink to videos or include screenshots that talk about their product. Business model. The last major shift in pitch deck consumption is in the business model section, which saw a 28% increase in investor time spent last year. This is where I sometimes get into arguments with founders. A founder might talk at length about a market opportunity or a great product without setting on a clear path to monetization. Investors generally don't like open-ended answers, so you need to indicate how you plan to make money, how likely that plan is, and how risky it is. In software, this doesn't have to be a complicated answer. For example, this was a hard pitch at the seed round for us, but as we progressed, our business model became more empirically true. Be sure to have a clear business model in mind and stick to your guns when pressed on it. More than just a good idea. While the product readiness section of a pitch deck grew more important last year, this has really happened over the past 5 years. The pandemic just accelerated a trend that was already happening. There's an increase in the number of people who can write code, and the number of software developers out there has changed a lot over the past decade. Since more people have this skill set, and the cost of writing code is coming down, and the productivity of software engineers is going up, people are expecting more from pre-seed companies. According to pre-seed report, only 11% of companies surveyed has no product. 70% of companies have an alpha or beta product, and another 19% have something generally available. What's interesting here is that a lot of founders are choosing to link product readiness with traction, and they'll report that their product isn't fully done yet, but also provide customer quotes and engagement numbers, the goal being to raise a pre-seed round to bring the product to general launch. The risk of having a product in general launch is that you'll have to prove post-launch traction in a way you wouldn't otherwise be expected to. That said, at the seed stage, you need to have a product launched. At pre-seed stage, you can get by with just something partially built. According to the latest pre-seed report, only 11% of companies surveyed had no product. 70% of companies have an alpha or beta product, and another 19% have something generally available. How long does the fundraising take? Often at the pre-seed stage, You don't have a burn rate or cash out date because you haven't hired people yet. But sometimes your personal runway is an important factor. So there is some concern about how long it can take to fundraise. The good news is that 59% of companies in our data set were able to complete their fundraise in 12 weeks. On average, we found that the whole process takes about 15 weeks from your first meeting to when you get the money in the bank. Some people are going through the slog, though. 32% of companies surveyed took 19 plus weeks to raise. For my first company, it took me over 6 months to raise $500,000. I just wasn't very good at it. I don't think that it necessarily needs to take you that long. 3 months or less is pretty reasonable. On the average, we found that the whole pre-seed funding process takes 15 weeks from your first meeting to when you get money in the bank. Fundraising comes down to process, efficiency, and storytelling. There are a few important takeaways here. First, it comes to the pitch deck itself. Put in the work. Sometimes people think they can get away with throwing something together because they're busy writing code or out selling. But your deck is important, and you'll reuse it, or at least components of it, for hiring or sales. That isn't to say your deck has to be beautiful, but it does need to be clear, concise, and compelling. Secondly, have something to show for your efforts. The days of minimum viable PowerPoint appear to be leaving. Most people are not in the 11% camp of people who are able to raise without a product. And a lot of those people are usually multi-time founders who are unquestionably very technical domain experts. Finally, schedule your time wisely. Fundraising is time taken away from building your business, so always keep that in mind. Also, it's just not fun to get no's, and almost everyone gets those in fundraising process. Even people who ended up raising huge rounds still got many no's. Fundraising is demoralizing and time-consuming. No one will care how long you spent on it. So, be efficient as possible. Yes, good morning. It is Tuesday. It is July 20th, and many of you saw Jeff Bezos. He launched into space on Blue Origin, and want to congratulate Jeff on a wonderful trip out into space. I believe four people became astronauts, so I want to congratulate the team at Blue Origin. Now, continuing on with the NFT, I just want to give everyone kind of an update on the NFTs. Just basically, what is a non-fungible token? A non-fungible token is a unit of data stored on a digital ledger called a blockchain that certifies a digital asset to be unique and therefore not interchangeable. NFTs can be used to represent items such as photos, videos, audio, and other types of digital files. Let's take a look at some of the latest news that just came out this morning. The first was OpenSea raised $100 million at a $1.5 billion valuation for the NFT marketplace. Absolutely amazing. Andreessen Horowitz bets big on NFTs with OpenSea funding. They were the ones that actually gave them $100 million. Social NFT platform Define raises $5 million from Asian investors. Now, you may have seen that tweet that just went out on my feed on IdeaConnect2 at twitter.com. The social NFT platform Define. Amazing how fast the news is breaking. Next, we have the National Predators to launch NFT series with 25 digital collectibles. Unbelievable. The National Predators have entered the NFT industry. The franchise will be releasing 25 digital trading cards that will be auctioned off.
This just in from ArtNet News. In the Wild West of NFTs, Kenny Schachter rubs shoulders with Jay-Z, crypto gifters, dodgy doppelgangers, and others. It is getting weirder and more wonderful in crypto land every minute. And Kenny Schachter is along for the ride. This just in from the NBA. The Kings launch industry-first combination of digital, real-world NFT to commemorate inaugural season. Today, the Sacramento Kings announced the franchise's first ever digitally designed non-fungible tokens. Digital art made by Jerry Garcia in his final days hits NFT market. The collection with Yellow Heart include 20 digital art pieces by the Grateful Dead frontman, three of which he is believed to have created. After making his seven-figure NFT debut, Rick and Morty creator Justin Roiland is selling his first painting at auction. This just broke 23 hours ago. Roiland's painting is included in Sotheby's Contemporary Art online sale. Earlier this year, he sold a collection of NFTs for $1.65 million. Unbelievable. Tyson Fury NFT Lineal sells for almost $1 million on Hodoi, Hodoi.com, one of the biggest bidding sports NFTs ever. This just came in from London, the UK. Top 5 NFT games aside from Axie Infinity, crypto game, you want to check that. That just broke 12 hours ago. And lastly, the South China Morning Post unveils digital asset standard to tokenize history. The non-fungible token NFT standard aims to create a foundation for the discovery and collection of history. This in from the South China Morning Report. Now, these are just some updates for the NFTs. I'm going to go ahead and be giving some updates throughout the day, but definitely follow me on Twitter at ideaconnect2@twitter.com. And if you have an idea for a startup, email me at Gary Kohlgreff, that's GaryKohlegreff @gmail.com. And remember to tell all your friends who are entrepreneurs to follow me on Idea Connect 2, that's IDEA Connect 2 @twitter.com. I hope to be getting quite creative in my morning presentations. Hope everyone is having a great Tuesday, and stay tuned and follow us on Idea Connect 2 @twitter.com for all the latest startup news from Silicon Valley. Most recently, the non-fungible tokens, which are taking off like wildfire. Take care and have a great Tuesday. Bye now.